And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the living stock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Our text. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every little thing that living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding its seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So our text this morning comes from verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And sisters, the title of the sermon this morning is Made in God's Image. And the theme is that God created man in his image and gave him the task to fill the earth and to subdue it. William Steig has written a picture book for children called Yellow and Pink. It's about two wooden figures who wake up one morning, laying outside in the sun on an old newspaper. One figure is painted yellow and the other figure is painted pink. Suddenly Yellow sits up and says, oh, do you know what we are doing here? No, says Pink. I don't even remember getting here. These two figures begin to debate where they came from. Pink looks over the wooden shapes and says, somebody must have made us. Yellow disagrees and says, no. It was an accident. A branch may have fallen off a tree, hit a rock, split, and that's where how we got two legs. And maybe the wind took us, rolled us over the earth, and formed us into the shape we are. Or maybe a woodpecker came and dug out the holes for our eyes, and millions of years later, we've got eyes to see. So they were arguing back and forth, these two wooden figures. And so sometimes we argue about the same things. In the end of the discussion came very brisk. When a man walks out of the house, picks them up, looks at him and says, the paint is nice and dry. Put the two wooden figures under his arm and start walking off. Yellow peers out of under my man's arm and whispers, who is this guy? Quoted in the book of C. Carlson. Who are we? Where do we come from? What is our purpose? Who painted us? That is a couple of questions we would like to answer this morning. Genesis 1 answers all these questions for us this morning. Genesis answers the question that these two wooden dolls had. Who is this guy? And with all reverence, we say, this God that has made everything is the almighty, all-powerful God of all of creation. He made us. But more than that, he gave us all a task to perform, or tasks to perform. And more of that, moreover, he gave us responsibilities as his creation. So let us today look in the commandment, in the passage that says, so God created man in his own image. We are not wooden dolls that rolled and formed by chance. Man did not develop over the billions of years of goo. God made us, and he made us according to his image. And God made us good and perfect. When God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, God said a lot of things to us. We notice that we are getting. This is a very important event in the history of mankind. It's the sixth day, the last day of creation, and the Lord has made something to reflect his own image. Let us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, confer together about the creation of man. The importance of this is emphasized again and again in the same passage we've read. In verse 27, the Lord repeats it twice. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. This is important for us because God is trying to re-emphasize something to us this morning. The fact that in his image we have been created. The world today makes us only physical human beings. The world says to us, no, there's no soul, there's no spirit. And if the world goes to the stage to say there's some spirituality, it is normally something that you've created or something that's easy to believe in, something physical. But when Moses wanted to see God's glory, the Lord allowed him to see only a shadow, a glimpse of his splendor. Because God is not physical, but God is spiritual. And God made us into his image. We are therefore spiritual human beings, not merely physical. We were made in the image of God in a lot of ways. God doesn't have a body or a shape like me and you. God is spiritual, as we've said. So how did God made us in his image? The first point we want to discuss is God made us in his image in the moral sense. When God came to the end of all his creative work, he looked down and he said, all is very good. In other words, it was perfect. There were no manufacturing defects, no reruns, no trials, no faults. When he made Adam and Eve, he made them without any flaws. But what he included in creation is the ultimate of his creation. Adam and Eve was perfect in all ways. The Apostle Paul explained this in the letters to the Colossians and the Ephesians. We've just read it. We wrote that we were made to be true righteous, holiness, and knowledge. Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 verse 10. When God first made human mankind, we were righteous and holy, and we had a true knowledge of God. We were without sin. God made us perfect. We, of course, lost all of this in the history of Adam and Eve. We know that. And we've seen when we come to chapter 3 in Genesis in a couple of weeks' time. But in the beginning, we were morally perfect in God's image, like God, morally perfect. The second area is that God made us human beings. God is a spirit, and he's made us to be spiritual human beings. He gave us a spirit. He gives us a soul. He made us so that we could relate to him spiritually. We may now get to know him spiritually. We may get to know him, to live for him, and worship him spiritually. Worship is spiritual, not necessarily physical. In the modern period, many people in the Western world deny that we are spiritual human beings. And they put all the emphasis on the human body. Because if they put all the emphasis on the human body, we could evolve. We could develop out of strange objects. But we know today that we are spiritual human beings. God made us spiritual beings, but the Bible says that He made us to know Him, the only true God, and the Lord Jesus Christ whom He has sent, John 17, verse 3. We are spiritual beings so that we may know the spiritual God. But God also made us relational. He made us male and female, so we could relate to each other and to others in our society. We were created for community. We were created so that we can relate to God in a vertical relationship and to other people on this earth in a horizontal relationship. We were created, and He designed us for companionship, for friendship. God created us for a need to be amongst people. God also made us rational. That is, God gave us a mind so we could think and reason and plan and design. Have you ever seen an elephant develop a nice house or build a boat? Have you seen any other creature develop and plan and come up with something creative except for man? But God also made us volitional. That is, He gave us a will so we can make decisions. One decision to another. Weigh up the pros and the cons and the consequences of it. God gave us a capacity to take and make choices. Do you know of any other creature where the Lord has given this opportunity for? We resemble God because He is a spirit and He has a mind and a will. He lives in relationship to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God made us especially to be according to His image. God is rational. We are rational. God is volitional. We are volitional. God is creative, so we are creative. God is spirit, and we are we've got spirit. And God is relational so that we can be relational. But with this, unfortunately, comes a few implications. The Lord has not made us and put us in a little island and say, live on your own. We did not grow out of something for billions of years just to say, we'll mutate into something different as time goes on. No, God made Adam as a full-grown man to live and to fulfill certain tasks. Because we are all made in God's image, we must treat every human being as God's image bearers. That isn't easy to do. We all know people that do not have a lot of goodness or love or holiness in their hearts. We know a lot of people that we so easily look down and say, we don't want to be friends with them. We don't want to talk to them. We don't want to be associated with them. And unfortunately, a lot of people teach that. How else can we become the light of the world if we withdraw from the world? Everyone on this earth, good or bad, carries the image or the stamp of God. But everyone in the world, whether beautiful or ugly, intelligent or simple, good or bad, has to be treated as image bearers of God. The book of James 3 verse 9 teaches us that with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. My brothers, this should not be. Being made in God's image also means that we only understand ourselves fully if we understand who God is. One of the most important books written in the Reformation was the Institutes of Christian Religion, written by John Calvin. He began the book by saying that true wisdom consists of a knowledge of God and ourselves, and that we will never understand ourselves without the true knowledge of God. That is a strong incentive to read and study the scriptures on a daily basis. But God has not only made us in His image, God has also given us two tasks to fulfill, two creation orders to fulfill. The first one we read in verse 28, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth. God made this world for us to live in. We've seen this over the last couple of weeks. On the first 5 days of creation, he set it up as a place for us to live in. He gave us dry land to live on, mountains to climb, rivers to swim in, atmosphere to breathe, fruit and trees to eat from, and all the beauty around us to reflect his glory. Some of the environmentalists these days say to us that humans are a nuisance to the environment. Humans destroy the environment. Earth would have been so much better off without humans. But what a complete misunderstanding of God's work and plan. God made this world to be inhabited. He designed it as a place for us. He made it perfect so that we can live in it. That is why God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. A lot of people think we've achieved this. There are only 6 billion people on the earth. And when you fly over the earth and you look down and you see the vast empty spaces, how far are we away from God's ordained instruction? There are huge, huge parts of the world uninhabited by mankind. 6 billion people? 600 billion people? What is God's plan? Fill the entire earth. However, in more recent times, concerns have been expressed in the Western community. And the reason for it is the decline in the populations in the West. Decline in populations, typically in the countries from where Christianity flowed. Very few countries have a birth rate higher than 2.2 in the Western world. Very few countries where the Word of God rules today have a replacement birth rate. They're becoming smaller and smaller as communities. What did the Lord say? Fill the earth. The fear of overpopulation is totally misplaced. We don't have to worry about a lack of space because there is a vast amount of unused space. Nor the lack of food to supply all the people in the world. It's easy to produce enough food to feed all the population if we simply follow the instructions of the Lord. But if there are nobody in Africa, how can we grow fruit in Africa? If there's nobody in Asia, how can there be people producing fruit in Asia to feed the people of the world? For instance, each year the whole world's the population of Rwanda can be fed from the scrap food, the food wasted in Canada alone. There are about 3,000 edible plants, and only 300 are being consumed by mankind today. 10%. In the United States, Britain, Europe, the government pays people not to produce food. And they've introduced quota systems to make sure everybody doesn't overproduce, because then profits will significantly decrease. What has God said? Fill the earth, work it, produce food so people can live. Restricting quotas is directly against the will of God. The problem is not a lack of food, but the unequal distribution of the food. And it's normally as a result of greed, sin, laziness, corruption, and matters like that, that people go hungry today. God has blessed us with the ability to reproduce, and he's commanded us to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This is an ongoing commandment that still applies to us today. Maybe now you can see why the sin of homosexuality is such a grievous sin against God. It goes against the creative order and mandate that God has given us in Genesis chapter 1. The other task God gave us is to subdue the earth and rule over it. At present we see the world being populated, polluted and spoiled. The earth resources are misused and mismanaged. Trees and plants are exploited, and all of this because of a sin of greed. Think of what's happening to the Amazon. Think of what's happening to the rainforest in Burma. once known for its beauty and splendor, and today without any trees left. Greed, not management, has replaced the creation instruction from God. But God's will is that we look after this world. We all have to be environmentalists in the positive sense of it. God says that we have to develop the world, draw out of the world all the resources we can, whether it's gold or diamonds, whether it's coal, whether it's water, whether it's food. God wants us to use, develop this world that we live in. God does not want us to let the world just lie idle. Fill the world and work it is the instruction of the Lord. But the Lord goes further than that. He wants us to write books. He wants us to compose music, paint beautiful pictures. He wants us to use our minds to build beautiful bridges, construct roads, develop smarter computers, find cure for cancer, etc. God wants this for us to do. He wants us to explore the universe, to draw maps. God wants us to marvel at the world and find beautiful discoveries. Why? Because it reflects part of the greatness of God as his image bearers. The more we discover, the more we find out, and the more we create, the more we portray the image of the Lord. He also placed us as rulers over the fish and birds and living creatures. He has put us in charge of them. Adam began the task of ruling over the animals when he named them. And we have continued that task since then. When we listen to the environmentalists, not very well, have we? So how do we rule over animals? We have dogs and cats in our homes, tropical fish in the aquariums, birds in the aviaries, lambs in the back paddock. We also have animals that do all sorts of tasks for us, like farming. We gather animals in zoos and animal parks so we can look at them and admire them. We spend time studying them and classifying them. We classify them as species. And David celebrated this when he said in Psalm 8, "You make man ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet." So God did not only give us all the animals to rule and all the birds, but also all the green plants and trees and shrubs to manage for our food, for our care. So God wants us to be his agents on earth. That's what he called Adam to do. He has appointed us as caretakers of creation. How well do we do with that? God has appointed us to be his representatives on earth, to reflect some of his glory and who he is as we walk on this earth. We are to exercise dominion on earth. We are to extend his kingly rule. We are God's partners, his co-workers in his vineyard. He has made us administrators of this world. This means that we are accountable to him. We are to bow all his commandments, and we are to give him praise and glory. We are to do this because he gave us all these gifts and all these resources that we can see, that we can mine, that we can use. It all comes from God. God has also given us a very broad mandate. Sometimes it's called the kingdom mandate. Every one of us has a part to play in our daily lives. Each one of us has a job to do. Each one of us, as we sit here, have a responsibility to fulfill. Whether it's in the work that we do, the sport that we play, the friends that we may have, the social activities that we perform, or simply doing the work on a farm, wherever. The Lord has placed a responsibility on us. We have to examine our own gifts and our own talents and look for suitable ways where the glory of the Lord can be worked out also through the things that we do and the way that we reflect the image of the Lord. We can serve God like this only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have already seen that God's original creation was marred and broken by the fall into sin. But what was lost in the first Adam is restored through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of a new humanity. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That has already happened in principle, but it's also in process. We are already new, but we are not yet perfect. So God is at work in us through His Spirit so that we are being renewed to be like God in righteousness and holiness and with a true knowledge of our Creator. Ephesians 4. In and through Jesus Christ, the image of God is being restored in us. And through Him, we can go about this task of looking after His wonderful world He has made. Let us therefore take up the tasks that God has given us. And let us live out His creation mandates, which are to fill the earth and rule over it. By doing so, we do reflect something, although a small part, of the greatness and the splendor and the majesty and the wisdom of the Almighty God. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's just come to a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, what amazing fact that you've made us in your image. Yes, Lord, we all know how far we fall short of it, and we thank you that through the Lord Jesus Christ we can live, Lord, as your children. Heavenly Father, but it's so easy for us to say that we leave the management and affairs of the world into the hands of somebody else. It's not so easy for us to say that the environmental movement is people who smoke marijuana and have some kinds and all these kinds of mindsets. But Lord, the reality is that you've called us all to be environmentalists, to look after the world, to care for it, to plan it. Lord, to us, we use our wisdom and our strength to look and care for what you've given us in the first place. We thank you, Lord, that you've made us different to animals, that you gave us the ability to communicate, to be wise, to be rational, relational. Yes, Lord, that you gave us a spirit that we may know you. Lord, that we can speak to you today, not just with our mouths, but also by through your spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these, the privileges to be on this earth. Lord, now help us to build and to look after it. Heavenly Father, you also gave us the instruction to fill the earth, Heavenly Father, and to work it and to look after it. Lord, help us to also proclaim the message that we should not be scared about the day of tomorrow. Yes, Lord, what will happen in the world tomorrow, and therefore we don't have children because we don't want to place them under the burdens of the world. But Lord, help us to understand it's you that provide, it's you that care. It's you, Lord, that will look after each and every one of us, our children, our grandchildren, till the hundredth or thousandth generation of those that love you. Heavenly Father, be with us today as we marvel at what you've created for us. Yes, Lord, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, what you're also achieving within us. And Lord, we thank you as we sit and we reflect back in our lives and we see how you are changing us. Gracious Lord, we recognize it's not from our own, but merely your grace alone. Lord, we thank you this morning for your wonderful word to teach us. Yes, indeed, Father, we've been created in your image. Male and female, you've created us. Heavenly Father, help us to live lives that reflect the image of God. Lord, and where we fail, change us and make us more Christ-like as time goes on. Hear our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.